Ladies and gentlemen, gardeners of all ages, season 5 is starting
right now. Well, hello, everybody. My name is Michael Rourke, a.k.a. The Garden Guy. Welcome back to your Midwest Garden Podcast. Today, who am I talking next to?
Well, you're talking across to me.
That's right.
There's nobody next to you right now.
We're not rubbing elbows.
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us.
It's the fifth-year rookie himself, Scott Sandstrom.
That's right.
Hey, you're going to get an award for this. You know that.
5 years we've been doing this.
All right, what are we going to talk about this? How are we going to absolutely bring ourselves into the spring of 2024?
I was driving back from the garden center today to come do this, and I'm realizing, it's like, man, the garden gods are upon us today. They know we were going to start recording a new series of shows because it was blue skies, sunny, and like, what is it, like 54, 55 out there? It turned out to be a lovely afternoon.
Mind you, everybody, I don't know if the whole entire Midwest is benefiting from this.
Oh, but we are.
We certainly are, and we're going, nah, 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 nah.
Because 2 days ago, we had big old snowflakes.
Well, now, I don't want you to do anything early. Scott, you got to slow down. I don't want you to go out there. Simon and Garfunkel, 1968, wasn't it?
I was five in 68, okay. Mike.
All right,
that's it. You're right.
Now, anyway, what I wanted to do is say, don't do anything too soon, too quick, too fast. And why? How's your banana plants doing right now?
Interesting you bring that up.
Okay.
Because I brought home just today, I found in the garden center an old unpurchased indoor, outdoor remote thermometer, electronic one, you know?
You know, you scare me.
So this is what I did. I mean, it's only been underneath the rose cone.
The banana styrofoam. Plant has been in there all winter long.
Yeah, banana plant with the straw and the rose cone on top.
Right.
And so you kept saying, you know, so it's 54 degrees today.
It's going to be 89 outside.
The sun's out.
I mean, inside that container.
It's like this. It's like, well, where I put the thermometer, I didn't put it in the hay because I just stuck it under the cone to see if the cone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same temperature as outside. So I'm going to move. Yeah, it registered like 53.
Well, that's cool.
So right. I'm going to move it underneath more towards the pseudostem.
Yeah.
And inside the hay, straw, I'm sorry.
You know, for those who don't know or don't recall, what is the pseudo stem again?
Well, that's the stem of the banana
plant.
It's
the new stem coming out.
Pseudo because it's water. It's not wood.
Yeah, that's cool.
There's a name for that kind of plant that's water-based, not a non-wooded trunk. I forget what it is. You guys all.
Banana tree.
You guys write us in. Let us know.
Yeah, I'll look that up.
So anyway, I'm going to monitor the temperatures for a little while just to see, because we have been talked about that a couple times. And I have a picture on my phone, and I'm going to compare it later, maybe late spring, early summer. Somebody moved in down around the corner from us, new neighbors, and at the end of the year, I guess, they had a big old banana plant in the ground. And I'm like, oh, cool. This is cool. And they didn't do anything in the winter. It's just the leaves,
wilted,
fronds, palms, whatever you want to call them, just wilted straight down. They didn't cut the stalk or protect it or anything. So I'm going to use them as a test to see
if that
comes back. Because if it comes back and tall, why am I cutting mine down and doing all this extra work?
Because you followed directions on the internet. But here's the thing, too.
Believe everything on the internet?
Well, no. Now, did they put mulch around the crown itself?
No, nothing.
Nothing at all?
Nothing.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
It's going to be interesting to see if that thing survives and if it comes back. And if it does, maybe Scott reevaluates.
Well,
because they definitely didn't listen to our program on how to winterize your palm trees.
Maybe they did, but out of spite, they wanted to prove us wrong.
Maybe they did.
Well, let's find out. We can maybe, you know what?
I'm going to knock on the door one day.
There's a program involved in this. There's a podcast in this, or at least a little snippet about it. I mean, are you going to publicly humiliate your neighbor, or are you going to be able to accept humiliation?
No, I can accept it.
Oh, that's going to be okay. I'm going to stand 6 blocks away.
So if you haven't guessed it, ladies and gentlemen, gardeners of all ages, future green thumb owners, we're talking about prepping for spring in this episode.
And it's not spring yet.
No, it's not.
So we want to reiterate to people, you can't jumpstart spring. You can't jumpstart to do this, but there are things you can do right now and things that we're going to recommend you that you don't do. Now, what was the first thing that a lot of you people are out there when it's 50, let's say 60 degrees outside in February, what are you going to want to do? You're going to want to go out and you're going to want to go and play in your yard. I had a call today. Lady wanted to clean things up, but she has grasses too, ornamental grasses. She asked, will I hurt them if I cut them down now? I said, no, just, you know, leave about 4 to 6 inches. Maybe even you can go as high as 10. But go out there and do it, but don't do too much. And she goes, well, I'm not. I'm just going to be cleaning this, that, and the other thing. Her husband calls me. She's out there raking the whole yard. What the heck did you tell her? Now I got to work. And I'm going, well, tell her to slow down. What is she doing? Well, she's raking out all the leaves. She's moving everything. She's making the dirt pristine. You know, and I'm saying, no, I never told her to do that. I just told her it was okay to cut the grass down. Why am I suggesting not to take the leaves out of the flower beds?
Because you still have the bugs that are hibernating.
Exactly. They're beneficials. And you have critters that are underneath there too, but you have the bees, praying mantises that are out there. You've got all sorts of beneficials, including pollinators. Yeah. Beneficials, I'm giving the name to because that's a standard industry term for an insect that will be a predator and eat damaging insects. They search and destroy, and they take care of them. The pollinators are out there, too. You know there's certain moths that hibernate? Did you know that the lady beetle hibernates? Did you know that the lady beetle lays her eggs right now? Do you know how disgusting the lady beetle larvae look? I mean, they look scary.
Yeah, and, but, I'm glad I don't look.
But those are the predators, too. They'll eat junk. I'm telling you, please don't do anything to your yard right now as far as spring cleaning. You got a lawnmower, Scott? I'm presuming you do.
I do.
What do you do this time of year for the lawnmower, to the lawnmower, or for it? Not a thing? You just wait to try to kickstart it when you're going to give it the first mowing?
Well, I did my lawnmower maintenance in the fall.
Okay.
So I don't have to do it this spring.
Well, a lot of us, like myself, wait until the last minute.
That'd be you.
Did you know that the high-end lawnmowers are no longer going to be produced by certain lawnmower manufacturers?
Produced at all or produced overseas somewhere?
Well, no, produced. Well, let me rephrase that. Snapper, for instance, are you familiar with it, with their logo with the turtle, snapping turtle?
Turtle.
They're a high-end lawnmower. They and Honda are quitting the lawnmower industry. Now, I'm going to ask you to think about reasons why.
I don't know. I had a long... I'll tell you why for Honda, because I had a Honda. It was wonderful. It lasted forever, so I never had to buy another one.
You may have to.
So is everybody getting on the battery EV kick?
Is yours over 10 years old?
No, not the one I have now.
Okay. Yeah, they're going on to the EV routine.
Yuck, bad.
And EV stands for electric vehicle. Well, a lawnmower's got 4 wheels usually, and it is a vehicle to clip your lawn. They're getting out of it because of the pressure they're getting from, I don't know. Is it being awakened to the new thing that's out there? Because the one friend has a new lawnmower that's battery operated. You got to charge it. They got 2 batteries. But it does crappy mowing when you have the slightest bit of dew or mildew on the grass.
Yeah, now, it can't handle the torque.
It won't, if that's what it's called. I don't know what it's called. It just stalls out. And then they got to start it back up again. And if it won't start up right away, they got to clean the undercarriage. and then start it up again. And it takes them twice as long to do their lawn.
Heck, I used to have to do that with my push mower a few times in the spring.
Well,
when you let it get too tall and yeah. it got wet. Yeah. So imagine a battery trying to go through that. Yeah. Plus that battery is going to drain.
It's going to drain. What they say really lasts fast. For, you know, maybe an hour long. Well, you can tell when it goes down to nothing. But basically the combustion engine, CO2, is supposedly taboo and bad.
Well, and so from what I understand, and I heard this from a guy that ran a mowing service with the big mowers.
Yeah.
That your homeowner two-cycle motors are the worst for the environment. So they're probably getting away from making the two-cycle, maybe because of government mandates or whatever. But people mowing on the weekends with two-cycle engines produce more, I guess,
they want to get
poisoning the ozone layer more than like a day of traffic in New York City with cars because they're four-cylinder or not two-cycle. I am not a motor guy. So that's what I understand is going on. So I understand they're switched to a different type of propulsion or fuel.
Well, we're going to have to reinvent the lawn and mowing. I mean, in essence, CO2 is good for plants. They take that in and they expel oxygen. They convert that into something that throughout the whole process of photosynthesis, they convert it into food. And it's one of the elements that they're using to use as a food converter. But when you have too much of it, it creates what they call smog. And smog is not good for the environment, period, or for the human or any animal.
Two-cycle engines, your snow throwers, your lawnmowers.
The blowers that you're blowing the leaves with?
Yes. Produce more trouble than, you know, your cars and trucks. And that's what the world is worried about.
Those. 124 years ago, the horse was polluting the environment also. I mean, their byproduct was going right into their drinking water.
Right. I mean, so I did hear that one manufacturer, and I'm not sure which, has started making a four-cycle gas lawnmower engine. And that could be something how the way the other people go because it's better for the environment and it's still got the torque for, you know, from the gas engine.
Yeah, well, let's see if that can be. I want to warn people right now.
Yeah, maybe if you're close to your husband or you are ready to buy another mower or maybe a couple of years off that, you know, maybe you want to grab one now.
The replaceable parts that they used to have for anything that's older than 10 years, they don't have anymore, and they're not making them. It's not, let's say, an automobile for the parts where you can search online. And I'm sure you could search online for some of this. The downside is I would rather spend the money now and have it for another 10 years because I know the government usually, well, it's like in L.A., they give them X amount of years to upgrade their vehicles to certain types of products that produce less CO2, less emission, and basically help to keep the environment clean. But like you said, the blowers, snow blowers, the lawnmowers, everything and everybody's out there, and there's going to create a haze over you're going to be breathing the junk in. In the meantime, that's all. That's the news alert that I'm going to ask you to pay attention to right now.
Let's not forget the two-cycle smell that you get when using maybe not so much lawnmowers, but like blowers and especially my snow thrower. Man, the clothes I go snow throwing in, you walk back in the house and everybody's like, woo, does that
stink? Well, do you actually measure exactly how much of the two-cycle oil you have to put into your 1 gallon or 5 gallons?
Depends on the dispenser because sometimes you can get them where they're like a squeeze bottle and it will fill top 2 ounce. If it's a packet, I'm like, packet's good. And like my snow thrower now has too much oil because it's just smoking away.
If my blower got to the point where it was smoking away and it was lugging, well, I would probably put some more regular gasoline in it. It wasn't exactly a precision-oriented instrument. Okay, I know that people are getting anxious right now and going out in the yard and wanting to go out and, you know, get your flower beds, get your vegetable gardens ready, going out and buying the manure or any of the amendments that you want to put down and till them in.
But in 2 days when it snows again, what are you going to do?
Ta-da! What about the seed? I mean, if you're going to start seeds indoors, what are you going to do? Ta-da! Are you going to go back to any type of log that anybody has? That you're going to go to the internet? Or where are you going to go to find this stuff out? Do you have any suggestions, Mr. Five-Year Rookie?
Find what out again? I'm sorry, I didn't follow.
See, I'm asking, do you have a specific way that people can go and listen or find out?
Oh, I know where you're going now.
Well, I'm hoping that you have the answer.
You finally hooked me. I took the bait.
Ta-da! All right.
Our suggestion is where Mike's going to for you guys that, you know, one day it's beautiful, the next day it's 10 inches of snow, what you can do to keep yourself in the gardening mode. We need you to go back and you can search our entire catalog and listen to season 1, 2, 3, and 4. So here's a couple bullet points for you guys relating to this time of year and things you can do. Season 1, episode 2 of March 18th in 2020, we talked with Nick Botek, and he starts talking about starting your seeds pre-season.
Season 1, episode 2.
Yes.
Beautiful.
We also have season 1, episode 29 in December of 2020, was with Christina McGillis with talking about the soil test kits.
Okay.
Now's not a bad time post-winter to see what kind of Mother Nature magic happened over the winter.
Ooh, I like that.
With your chemicals balance in your soil. So it hasn't been too much frozen ground. You could probably scrape some up in the certain areas and get your soil tested and send that kit off to them. You know, 48 hours, you get the results back, and maybe another month or two. But if you go listen to that episode, season 1, episode 29, you can get the gist of the soil test kit and how easy it is.
Yeah, right now it might be a little early because the ground is still going to probably be frozen under 6 inches. I would recommend when you have a spring thaw, but we're starting to see a few things pop up right now that are making people anxious also.
We jump into season 2, episode 7, in April of 2021. We talk with Kathleen about spring bulb tips, the bulbs you should have put in the fall. And then she also at that time talked about the fall bulbs you put in the spring.
It's a vice versa routine.
Yes. So get everybody straight on that. So spring bulb tips would be,
leave them alone if you've got them in the ground. Don't do a darn thing to them.
Yeah.
Bulb tone and bone meal, it takes approximately 4 to 6 months for it to break down. So if you're going to put it in, you're going to put it in now.
So there you go. So there's something you can do.
Yeah.
Run to your garden center and pick up some bulb tone.
But that's, what season is that? How do we have that ledgered?
Season 2, episode 7.
The bulbs.
Spring bulb tips.
All right. What about those bulbs? Does that, when they're coming up now, people are panicking to see, is this going to kill my bulbs? The weather? Now, come on, rookie.
They're cool weather plants, so it shouldn't.
Thank you.
And I got two more for you. Season 2, episode 10 with Anita Delfonte. Now, this is more for late April, early May type of stuff, but she talked about old school veggie planting. And
what do you mean by old school?
I don't know, Mike. You have to listen in.
Okay.
That was one of a very popular show, I'll say.
It was. And it was talking about basically that, you know, what everybody was doing as far as planting before everybody forgot how to plant.
Yeah, she was great. Very informative show. And last but not least, you have your very own Mike and Scott talking season 4, episode 11. Back in May of 23, Tomato Tom's tips.
Tom Tomaszewski. That's something, you know, and that's partially related to old school. I mean, he brought that over, and a lot of people brought that over with, you know, from the old country. And it's holding true. That man never had a blemished tomato. 3-bushel baskets, and people are going, why am I cracked? Why do I have this ugly brown spot on the bottom of my tomato and all the other stuff? So, I mean, you're going to learn a bunch of stuff, including following the moon.
That's what I was just looking up. I'm wondering if we have 2 full moons in May.
Well, you do it on whatever the last full moon in May. Now, what we mean by that is you plant it in the ground after the last full moon in May. You don't do it on Mother's Day because you can still get a killing frost. And there's a difference between a killing frost and a regular frost. A killing frost will definitely do what it's supposed to do and kill, you know, any vegetation that's brand new and tender. But the standard frost isn't going to kill it. It's just going to maybe nip a little bit of the leaves. But with the cold weather that we have in February, March, and April, who knows what's going to happen?
No, there's only one full moon in May of 24.
And do you know the date?
May 23rd.
So it's going to be late this year.
Yeah.
So you plant everything in the ground on or after the 23rd of May.
Which seems late, but trust me, they'll pop up like...
Those are going to explode.
Nobody's business.
Yeah, so you're going to have the patience of an old Polish gentleman like Tom Tomaszewski and then listen to that podcast. Which one was it again?
So that show, again, is season 4, episode 11 from May of 2023, Tomato Tom's Tips. And that was another big downloaded episode, so that's a good one.
Yeah, now, it's... I can't emphasize enough those last two podcasts that we were talking about because they definitely, I mean, people have been growing things for sustenance, for food, et cetera, for the longest period of time. Old school, old ways of doing things you might want to listen to. You may call it quacky, wacky, but honestly, you get the results better and bigger than you would with than if you were to do it according to the terms and education you're going to find right now.
Speaking of CO2,
yep.
And speaking of seeds,
yep.
Mike doesn't know this. I have a surprise for him, and
I hate him.
I wish you guys could see his face when I pull this out of the bag. But at our main store, we got a new cash register system to match the other two stores. So now we have all three on the same system. But I had to go through and do an inventory and account, and that's what's been keeping me busy for full week now. So anyway, I found something in the back that I think is perfect for this time of year. And Mike's going to be impressed with this fifth year rookie because I'm about to pull out something that is.
Where are you going to be pulling it out from?
A bag, a brown paper bag.
Okay.
And it's not a liquid.
I hate surprises.
It wasn't bought at the state store. It is so.
Here, try this.
So, you know, we're talking about starting your seeds now because that's something you can do now. We've talked in the past about, you know, doing grow lights and all that type of stuff, and the new LED ones are out.
That's a paper bag.
This is a paper bag. Talking to the mic, Scott. And I'm going to pull this out, and Mike's going to go, oh, my. Because I have something that's going to help even your regular seeds on... Unlike other seeds.
Oh, you mean,
ready for this?
Yeah. It's a bottle. I told you.
It's a bottle.
Yeah.
Do you remember this bottle?
100 years ago.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Well, there's three of them left at the store.
No kidding.
And from 2019, it still works. Ladies and gentlemen, it's called the Enhancer. It's a CO2 dispersal canister. It will maximize your crop's yield.
Now, why are you promoting CO2 if you're the five-year rookie?
Because I'm telling you, this is what I've learned.
Dude.
If you're planting seeds, getting them started in your basement, and let's say you made either a little grow room or you have those grow tents.
You don't even need that. All you need is a little bit of plastic to put over it.
Yeah. If you build something, you know, with your light on top and the plastic, and this CO2 will do wonders for your plants.
It accelerates its growth.
Whoa.
Uh-oh, the lid came off.
And this is cool because I didn't know this. It's refillable. You can buy the pellets that are in here. And so, ladies and gentlemen, what you do, it looks like a two-liter but it looks... Is that what we call them? I haven't bought pop bottles in a while. It looks like a big pop bottle.
Soda. We're in the Midwest.
Yeah. Anyhow, so what you do is you add a liter of warm water to this. You pour it in. You close the lid. You shake it. And then it's got a special top. And over the next 2 weeks, it will consistently release X amount of CO2 into your
The little tent you're making.
Yeah.
And your
planter's tent. So my question to Mike is, it's made by TNB Naturals. It's called the Enhancer, if you want to look it up. When should I start using this? Do you use it right away? Do you wait until you've got blossoms ready to come up, or just when you got green leaf?
Talk to me. What you don't want to do is you don't want to use it too soon because it can burn. And we discovered that through trial and error by using that, not necessarily that, but another CO2. There used to be CO2 bags that would release. But if you have too much coming out too soon and the lighting is on, I mean, if you're doing, let's say, either high-pressure sodium, any type of grow lighting, whether it was UV or not UV, what's the new lighting that's out there right now?
LED.
LED lighting. I mean, it can still burn. But if you're using sunlight, you got a measured amount of lighting that comes in, sunlight from your west or southern window. You only use that when the leaves on the plant start to mature and they harden. Now, what we mean by that is you don't use it when they first start to sprout out their first set of leaves. Those leaves are going to become useless later on. Once the plant starts to get to about 4 to 6 inches, depending on what you have, you go ahead and you keep it in the tent, but then you make sure that you have the regulated sunlight. Again, if it's from a southern or western window, that would be perfect. And this will help the plant to accelerate its growth process. It makes it more of a stronger, photosynthetic process. The plant basically is going to be on steroids, but it's going to be a natural steroid. You don't do it when it's flowering. You're done doing it when it's flowering. You can't do that because it'll burn. I would just leave it alone. But from the time that you go from a seedling to the time where it's just before you're going to get some flowers onto the darn thing, you can use this. But if you're using it too late in that period of time, you're going to have a bit of a problem because you're only going to have about 2 to 3 weeks before they go into flower. I would prefer you use this on weeks number 3 when the plant is already taller than 3 to 5 inches.
Okay.
And then I would stop using it once it starts going into flowering stage.
Everybody, the reviews of this were...
incredible?
Incredible. I mean...
you're fortunate to find that. I mean...
well, yeah. Hopefully it's still made.
It doesn't go bad. I mean, what you do, it's actually kind of like let's say it's like mycorrhizae or bacillus. It'll continue to produce... the more, when you put water in it, it's going to continue to produce until that product is basically gone.
Yeah.
I mean, so you'll know when it's gone. It's kind of like a CO, not CO2, but carbon in a pop bottle. When you shake it up, it's going to start to expand a little bit and it'll have to be released somehow. That's how that works on that.
I was watching a video and some guy did a pretty thorough experiment with this bottle. Measuring with the CO2 meter over every 12 hours over a period of 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And this product was consistently putting out the same amount. So that's what they were looking for, that everything stays the same. And I know this bottle I found in the back was from 2019.
It's still good.
Yeah.
You haven't added any water. It's been sealed.
But do you remember why you guys originally bought these for the store? What'd you use them on?
You really want to know?
Let's just say...
I'll tell you.
Some guy mentioned that he got rolling papers from this brand at one point. That wasn't you. That was a guy in the video.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, I watched a couple of videos and he goes, yeah, thanks.
Honestly, I'm not going to knock it. And more and more states are legalizing it. The people that are growing...
you afraid to say marijuana?
Okay, we did it. The people that are growing marijuana are far more particular as to what's going into their plants than, let's say, the moms and pops that are growing their vegetable gardens.
Hello?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's crazy.
And these guys know a boatload more than what anybody's going to go. Most people are going to go to the, the box store garden center and ask people for advice. If I were you, find somebody that's growing marijuana and ask them what they could do for your lettuce, your cabbage, your tomatoes, your cucumbers, your peas and beans. They will know a hell of a lot more than what the standard box store will be able to tell you. They'll have the products, but they're not going to be able to know what the heck it's used for. So in essence, yeah, these guys are whizzes. You don't have to have a PhD. Just go out to somebody that enjoys growing a beautiful plant that in most states is now legal.
So that's an interesting product that I was just like, you know, nobody talks about. Nobody, and I don't care what you're using it for. You can take advantage of this product, which is primarily, you know, I mean, its purpose is multi-purpose as far as the vendor's concerned. But why not use it in your grow tents for
thank you
everything?
And I would say if you had to follow the directions, if you want to get on the internet on how to grow marijuana, use it for your standard vegetables. I mean, honestly, folks, if you want to watch and make sure that you know your children are eating healthy, wholesome, natural foods, grow naturally. I mean, I'd like to say organic, but there's so many different, you know, organic.
There's no standardization there of organic.
No, so grow naturally and just follow. I mean, you can go into a garden center that's selling, you know, the Happy Frog bag of soil that you're selling over there at Black Diamond?
Yes.
You know, those paintings that are on there, they look like they're coming right from a head shed. I mean, the cartoons, everything on it. And I hit my microphone. Anyways, people were generally saying, well, you're selling this to people for marijuana. Well, what's good for marijuana is going to be good for your beans. Think about it.
Yeah.
What goes in is going to come out. If you got schmutz that's going in it, it's going to come out in schmutz and you're eating schmutz. But if you're going to be wholesome, happy, free, and free of any pesticides, herbicides, you name it, you don't go with these hybrids that they're selling. Go for an heirloom seed somewhere at the stores. Look for heirloom and then grow in strict in accordance to what the marijuana growers have been doing. And it's simple. They're just basically doing what our great grandparents have done prior to World War II.
I have another product that everybody may want to look into while they're waiting for the snow to melt and to get out. I believe it's made by Old Garden. It is a block, let's say 18 by 18 inches of coconut fiber. It's compressed.
There we go.
Almost like BX Pro Mix.
But they've got it added to it in BX. They've got it in there.
So this coconut fiber, 18 by 18, I'm guessing, reminds me of Mike. And do you remember, beginning of last year, we had microgreens.
Yeah.
And what did she provide us with in the kit to grow those microgreens?
It was the cocoa.
It was a cocoa medium. Remember, we kept calling it a cocoa puck. And then she's like, it's not a puck.
Cube. Yeah.
But we're like, yeah, it looks like a puck. It's circular. What do? You add water to it.
It expands.
It expands. And then you pull it apart. So this cocoa from Old Garden, I believe, it's showing somebody in this picture has, let's say it's the size of an old plastic milk crate. Yeah. That they're using for their gardening bed, but they have three lined up in a row. It takes the center one. They're hosing it down, adding water. It's puffing up, getting big, and they're pulling it apart with their hands, and it's sliding over to the other, I'll say milk carton, sorry, and using that as their medium. And you know what? I mean, the cocoa, what's the advantage of it? Sterile?
No, it's aerated and it's sterile. Yeah, well, it's not sterile. You can still get the bacteria that's in there that you need for it. But the cocoa mulch is aerated. It allows the root systems to expand. And if you're using natural ingredients with mycorrhizae in there, it helps to exponentially start to accelerate the root system to grow and take in the nutrients. Now, mind you, if you're going strictly cocoa core, and it's called cocoa core, you're going to have to give it nutrients a lot more frequently than you would have to if you're going cocoa core and soil. But you also get a harvest earlier. And that's going to depend on, you know, how you're giving it the nutrients. But that root system is just freely working its way through. And that, too, is from another industry grow coming from the cannabis. They discovered that they use that. If it works for cannabis, for God's sake, it'll work for tomatoes. Well, it does. And it works fantastically. I mean, you can use granular, you can use liquid nutrients if you wanted to, but please make sure that they're natural, because I think you're going to notice if you use the coco core, how fast this plant and how healthy this plant is going to be.
And as suspected, Mike, somebody's been adding soil to my garden.
Who's that?
You know how I know? Because the plot has thickened.
Ooh, dear, that's a joke, isn't it?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's your entertainment for the day.
Plot has thickened. Scott's rolling over on the floor right now, belly aching.
God, kill me.
Yeah, you do.
Anyway, Mike, do you have anything else to mention?
We got to wrap up soon.
I know we're all talkative. It's our first show back. We're excited to talk.
Yeah, but if you're going to get something, now, come on, you're going to run into summer eventually. What do you want us to do? We've had somebody on the program, too, that's been promoting, I'll call it rain barrels. It's a natural resource. It doesn't cost you any money. You're going to have one investment solely on the rain barrel. And isn't it the blue barrel system that's going to be able to assist you?
Yeah. That was the encore episode that we just had. Not last week, but 2 weeks ago, maybe.
Two weeks ago. And we could do it again to make sure the people. This is now in February, 2 weeks prior. Look up the Rain Barrel podcast, and it will tell you, what is it, about 1,000 square foot roof can get up to 600 gallons?
600 gallons.
On one rainfall.
For 1-inch rainfall.
You can also use it for a number of things, but I primarily use it for your vegetables, your vegetation out there. And again, you get from 1,000 square foot roof, 600 gallons from one rainfall alone.
So that encore.
I think that's 1 inch of rain.
Yeah, 1 inch of rain. That encore episode was released on the 21st of February, just a short period ago. And the other good news about February is that as of February 28th, the sun won't set until 6 p.m.
Yeah, baby. Oh, am I doing something premature?
Yeah, a little premature.
Oh, damn.
That means the sun's still setting in the 5 p.m. hour. Do you?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We're getting longer. It's getting longer. But the good news is it won't set again before 6 p.m. until October 29th. Just before Halloween. That's good news.
Around Christmas, it's 5 o'clock.
Well, it's because December 20th is the winter solstice.
Winter solstice. Okay.
So the good news is, you know, after February 28th and it's a leap year, and I'm beyond vacation during the leap year, does that mean I get an extra day? I asked my boss.
Isn't it really a
7-day vacation? Not an 8 because it's a leap year. That's a free day,
right? You don't have to convince me. I'm behind you, but I'm not going to be in the way when you bring it to your boss. Ladies and gentlemen, his boss is his wife. So, I mean, let's just go for real here. Mike, wait until you're totally gone before you look for the mushroom cloud. I think basically we touched on most things right now. And again, we're going to try to tap into anything and everything that most people's concerns are. We've got a number of states, for instance, we've got Iowa State basically helping us. We've got Ohio State University helping us. We've got a number of state extensions there. Just look it up on the Facebook thing. If you want to contact us on the internet by email.
If you'd like to contact us by email.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, it's yourmidwestgarden@bex.net, bex.net.
That's why he's here.
It's all in the show notes.
Oh, God, I hated teachers like that. I told you that during the last school session. All right. Well, in the meantime,
you can find us if you need us. Put it that way.
Yes. Remember, we're here to help, not to hurt. I like that. Isn't that something?
Oh, that's terrible.
Okay. Let's think of another logo.
How about we just.
Here it is. We plug them, you plant them. No, that won't work well either. Huh?
No.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, for episode 2, technically, on our 5th season, welcome back. Hopefully that was enough of a program to get you thinking and getting you excited so that you can have your green thumbs up.
Oh, boy. That's the long. Okay. Yeah. Green thumbs up. Goodbye, everybody. Thanks for listening to Your Midwest Garden. If you like today's conversation, please share this podcast with friends and family. And don't forget to click on the subscribe button so you won't miss any future episodes. Plus, if you have any show topics you'd like us to discuss, head on over to our sponsor's Facebook page, which is Black Diamond Garden Center, and message them your topic idea. For all of us at Your Midwest Garden Podcast, I'm Michael Rourke, the Garden Guy. Hope you enjoyed today's conversation.